Speak coming. Oh yeah, sorry, I just want to ask you, and I know that I have before, you are okay with your talk being recorded because we record main speakers. But as I was
Yes,
saying,
ma'am.
yes, you I know because we
I
spoke
am.
previously. As I said, I really enjoy always what he has to share. And I introduce you to Ben, who's come along to share his strength, his experience, strength, and hope with us for about 20 minutes, Ben, to half an hour. And it's over to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Ben, and I am an addict.
Hi,
Hi,
Ben.
Ben. Thank you. Thank you. I actually stumbled upon the HI, what is it? HIGNA meetings several weeks ago. It was not in times of illness or illness and recovery, this meeting. It was another meeting that they have. But I was sharing about where I was at and what was going on with me. And my clean date is July 11th, 1994. So I have almost 30 years in recovery. And during that time, I had surgeries and nothing really major. I had my gallbladder out and endoscope and stuff like that, which are general, pretty simple surgeries. But right now, December, well, I'll go back. Start in the middle of October, I started excuse me, with some mid back pain that none of the doctors could figure out what was going on. So they kept ordering tests and ordering meds, and nothing seemed to work. And then finally found a nurse practitioner in the ER at another hospital that did a full scan of my spine. And she walked back into the room with the results in her hands, and she looked at me and my girlfriend, and the first words out of her mouth was, "You're fucked," which kind of kicked me in the groin, because 2 months prior I was riding my motorcycle, putting on 100 miles a day, getting back and forth to work, putting on 500 miles on a Saturday because I heard of a new place to go eat. And to being sick, and it was just sudden. I didn't have any signs or symptoms of being sick, just developed a pain in the middle of my back. And what that pain was a compression fracture and multiple lytic lesions. And lytic lesions are cancerous lesions that spread around the body and the bones, usually on the spinal column, which causes problems like, compression fractures. Excuse me. So I was shipped to a bigger hospital. I live in a little town in Northwest Arizona that doesn't have a whole lot of, excuse me, we got great facilities, but we don't have a whole lot of services. So they sent me to Vegas for a spine surgeon to fix the compression fracture. I was in the hospital for 3 weeks up in Las Vegas before they finally decided that we could get them in, get me in, and get me taken care of. So they did the surgery on the 20th of December, and I was discharged on the 21st of December. And they ran tests and surgeries. They did a bone biopsy and MRIs and CTs, and just scanned me from head to toe, trying to figure out where the main site of the cancer was, and they could never figure it out. So I get discharged. I go to the oncologist. The local guy is up in a little town called Kingman, which is about 40, 45 miles away or so. And so I went up to see him, and he was like, why didn't they order this test? Why didn't they order that test? I'm like, I don't know. I'm a patient right now. Don't ask me why doctors don't do what they're supposed to do, because I can't answer that question. So he sent me in for a specialized test called a PET scan, and the PET scan showed that I had metastatic cancer to my right humerus, which is the big bone in your upper arm, to multiple ribs, to the mammary artery lymph nodes in my right chest. And yes, men have mammary arteries. It doesn't matter. They don't rename stuff just because it's on a man or a woman when they diagnose or decided what to name stuff. So I have the mammary artery lymph nodes are affected. My multiple ribs, multiple vertebrae, from like the T8 level, which is the middle of your rib cage, down to the L4 level, which is really low right before your tailbone. My liver, which is never a good thing to have cancer of, and my right femur as well. So we're talking and come up with a plan, and the plan is lots of narcotics for the pain, because bone cancer is very, very painful. Before I started taking anything, I contacted my sponsor, I contacted my grand sponsor, I contacted multiple friends in recovery, because that's what we're supposed to do here. We're not alone, and I ain't never alone, never again. I'm okay with taking the medications, because I'm not relapsing. I've not gotten high from anything. I've never, what we looked for, whatever we were out there using, was that feeling. And since we don't use cameras, you can't see me. I just did the air quotes for feeling, because that's what we're looking for. That's what we want. We want that feeling of being numb, and that's what I was looking for. I can't speak for you, but that's what I was looking for, was that feeling. I wanted to feel numb and not feel anything. I didn't want to be myself. And that's why I used. But I've not gotten that feeling off of any of the medications that I've taken. And my significant other, who's a normie, said that what I'm taking on a daily basis would put her in a coma and in the ICU and on the vent. I said, well, that's, one of the advantages of being an addict is it takes a lot to knock my ass out. But I w have been going through treatments. A couple of hospitalizations between seeing a doctor at the beginning of January and getting the treatment started the end of February. I just, I was in such pain. It just, most of the time the medicines were working, but sometimes it didn't. And instead of being that dyslexic addict that I can be, instead of taking one tablet every 4 to 6 hours, I'm taking 4 to 6 tablets every 1 to 2 hours. Because that's my dyslexic brain. That's my addiction kicking in, and wanting to take over. And I've not had that. I've not had any cravings. I do take my medicines on time. I do have breakthrough medicine for pain control, and I take that as needed. Sometimes I'll take it, the 4 times a day that it's written. Sometimes I'll only take it once during the day. It just depends. But I've been going through cancer treatment, which is radiation. Well, the radiation wasn't for cancer. The radiation was to help with pain control across my lower back, my lumbar spine, which is where most of the pain was at. Because holes in your spine it isn't a good thing. So I started my treatments the end of February. And they're broken up into 3 week cycles. So it's a dose of chemo, a week off. Dose of chemo, a dose of chemo, a week off. So I did 2 cycles of that, the 3 weeks, and I did a PET scan, and the PET scan showed the many areas of my metastasis had shrunk, and that the chemo was working. Yay! So I did another 2 cycles of chemo treatment, and did another PET scan during my week off, and it came back and said, "Hey, that cancer in your right humerus, it's now expanded. That cancer in your liver has now expanded. So your chemo drugs aren't working anymore. So let's change your chemo drugs." And I'm like, "Okay, not a problem." And then, oh crap, we can't just do anything here in the United States because the doctor says it needs to be done. We need to have a businessman that has no idea of healthcare decide that, stage four metastatic cancer needs to be treated with medications. So my doctor's office is in a fight with the insurance company right now to get authorization. And it's crazy. But I was supposed to have chemo today. Didn't because I don't have authorization. So I'm at home and doing okay. Like I said, I take my medications as I need them. Usually pop a Zofran, which is an anti-nausea medicine, first thing in the morning. Sit up at the edge of the bed, pop a pill. Sounds familiar, don't it? Sounds familiar to me because that's the way I used. I'd wake up and pop a pill or light up something or crack open something and start my using that for that day, like as soon as my feet hit the ground. But I don't have to do that anymore today. Go to multiple Zoom meetings a day. I do exactly what the doctors tell me to do. And because I want to beat this cancer. And I know I will because I'm stubborn and I'm not going to give in to something as small as cancer, even though it's throughout my entire body. And I share and I talk about where I'm at. And like I said, I keep my sponsor in the loop as to my medications, what's going on with me, keep my grand sponsor in the loop of what's going on with me. Because my choice, well, would be to isolate. I want to be by myself. I don't want anybody around me. I don't want to talk about anything. I just want to sit here in my pity pot. And I decided when I got the diagnosis of cancer that I wasn't just going to sit on the pity pot. I wasn't going to be a downer. I was going to have a positive mental attitude. So that's where the PMA after my name comes in, is positive mental attitude. I'm a nurse by profession, so I've seen many, many people get the bad news of cancer, and you could tell that they're one of those negative Nellies that they're always looking for the bad things instead of the good things. And they hear the word cancer and they go home and curl up in a ball and they die within 6 months. And that's not my plan. I have a grandbaby on the way. That'll be number two. Another little girl. So we're looking forward to that coming up here in a week. Goodness gracious. A week. That's crazy. I'm sorry. Sometimes you start thinking about something, like my daughter's gonna have a baby in a week, and it's like, when did my baby get big enough to have a baby? I got to watch him grow up, and I get to spend time with my grandkid. Whenever the new one's born, I'll get time to spend with her as well. And it's because I work this program. I work the steps with sponsor multiple times in my 30 years. When I work program recovery, life is good. I have an absolutely wonderful significant other. Like I said earlier, she's a normie. She's one of those people that can have half of a margarita whenever we're out for Mexican food, and she goes, I've had enough. And that's something I don't understand. I don't understand enough. I understand more. That's what I understand. She takes great care of me. And I my youngest son lives with me, so he helps take care of me as well. And if it wasn't for working the steps of the program, I wouldn't have anybody around for this, because I can be an asshole when I'm clean, and I'm worse when I'm using. And nobody would want to be around me. Nobody would want to take care of me. Nobody would want to help. So I continue to put one foot in front of the other, keep a positive mental attitude. I should probably work the steps on my feelings with my cancer, but I don't want to, because I don't like dealing with feelings. But one of the things that a friend suggested to me whenever I was first diagnosed was to start journaling. And the funny thing is, when I updated my iPhone in the middle of January, Apple put on a journaling app. So I don't even have to write shit down. I can just hit the microphone and I can speak my feelings. Because sometimes it's easier to speak them than it is to write them. But I get to speak my feelings and tell my future people where I'm at and what stage I'm on. And so I will continue to do my Zoom meetings and get better, and hopefully soon I'll be able to get to a real meeting. I will definitely be going to my celebration. Anybody that will be in Bullhead City, Arizona on the 19th of July is welcome to come to my celebration and watch me take my 30-year coin. My sponsor will be taking his coin that night as well, and he'll have 34 years. And so if you're around, come visit. Vegas is an hour and a half away. You can go gamble and come down and visit me, and then go back and gamble if you'd like. But I love what we do in recovery, because we pass on our information, we pass on what's going on with us, and come back in 6 months and I'll tell you how I kicked cancer's ass and what I'm doing, because that's my goal. I do love that part of my recovery is, I can tell you where I'm at, tell you what's going on, and then come back in a week or two and tell you what I did to either change my behaviors so that the situation wasn't as bad as I first perceived it to be, or they changed their behaviors to make the situation not quite as bad as it used to be, or I cut the rope and try to make amends, and it didn't work, and it's like, okay, not a problem. Have a good life. Love you. Bye-bye. And I do love this program, and if I didn't hear a message when I first walked in the rooms of recovery, I wouldn't have stayed. But the very first meeting I walked into, I knew nobody. Nobody in the room did I know. And every single person that shared talked about feeling the way I felt and doing the things I did and acting the way I acted. And it was just like a freaking light bulb went off. And I'm like, I found my place. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is how I'm going to get better, because I knew I was sick. I knew I was sick for many, many years before I hit my rock bottom and decided to get clean. But to admit that, it unfortunately took several years, I hurt a lot of people in that several years. So, if I had to figured it out when I first figured it out, then I, less amends to make, which is always a good thing, right? But I'm keeping a positive attitude, continuing to do what doctors are asking me and telling me to do, what's best for me, with the type of chemo and type of radiation and so on and so forth. And I will come out the other side. And I will be a winner whenever I come out the other side. And with that, I will finish up my share. Hilmarie, I would like to thank you very much for talking to me and asking me to share for your meeting here. I hope people heard something that they can pick up and use. Thank you for letting me share. Love y'all. Have a good day. Thank you.
And
Thank
thank
you,
you
Ben.
very
Thank
much,
you,
Ben.
Ben.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ben.
For
Not a
real.
problem.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really brilliant listening to you, and I love your attitude.